When you get this old, it's 1 hour at a time. Songs have been good, beautiful. I know Brother Carver's been out here some, and I guess, Brother Hines came with me one time, the song director at MacFarren. I think he's come with Brother Carver. Well, I was Brother Hines' pastor, and you that know him know how big he is. And if you've seen him eat, you know how much he eats. He'll weigh at least 300. And I called over at his house one day when I was pastoring at MacFarren. His wife answered the phone. I said, "Where's Donnie?" She said, "He's outside weed eating." I said, "I'm not a bit surprised. He's eat everything else." And she didn't like it. I was talking about her man. Yeah. But if you know me, I usually say what I think, and I expect you to do the same thing. Just have at it. Yeah. Tonight when I saw Gary Hunt coming in, I thought about the first revival at Wheatland, and he was up singing "Revive Us Again," first song every night during the revival. And he'd get everybody woke up, and then I'd get up and shake them up. And the Lord would save them up. It's a joy to be back here tonight and to see all of you and to even see a number of people that this is your first time tonight. And I was trying to count and see if I could how many have not missed a night. And I think I came up, it was either 19 or 20. If you haven't missed a night, raise your hand. It's 18. I was close. But nobody knows what the count was. That's what Kent said, but me. When I was at Three Springs pastoring, Faye McNeese's little grandson came up to see her from Florida. And I was standing at the door there, the sanctuary, and they came around the corner, and that little fellow was holding on to grandmother's skirt. And when they rounded the corner and I was speaking to him, he said, "Granny, is that Moses?" I said, get him in the nursery. Get him in the nursery quick. Can't come in here. That boy's got to go. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through verse 18. When John F. Kennedy was serving as president of the United States, he invited Billy Graham to come to the White House and to the Oval Office, and they were sitting in there, and he asked Billy Graham, he said, "What do you think is the best hope for America?" And immediately, Billy Graham replied and said, "The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "It's not the best hope, it's the only hope." That's pretty simple, isn't it? And you know what President Kennedy asked him? He was a Catholic. He said, "Does my church believe that?" Now, here's a man that could read 1,600 words a minute. And he's asking, "Does my church believe that?" This church believes that. My church believes that. If you're visiting, I hope your church believes that. It is the only hope. But it's the only hope we need. Isn't that wonderful? And that hope is anchored for all of us in Jesus Christ. I went over to Mulberry Gap Baptist Association in East Tennessee in August. I'd never been. And I found about 100 churches in that one association. Way back there, I went to Bean Station, and then we took a right, Brother Green and I did. We were in the middle of nowhere, and here's the church, Thornhill Missionary Baptist Church. And we rolled in, and the house was full. And they said later there were as many in the yard as there was in the house. And they had chairs everywhere. If the fire marshal had come in, he'd have died right there. They didn't even have a piano for music accompaniment, but guess what? They didn't need it. They sang better than the Camelites do without music. I mean, they went at it. And they sang songs that have got some meat in them. You know, so many songs today are just, you know, they're just repeating over and over. It's like we want to dumb everything down. And we've taken the music part away and just have words. How can you sing words if you don't have some music to it? That never has made any sense to me. Doesn't make any sense at all. Well, finally, the preacher to do the annual sermon was a friend of mine, and I'd never heard him preach, Brother Mike Elkins. And he got up and he chose for his text, Jeremiah 6:16, "Stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest to your souls." And he preached for about 45 minutes, and their custom of preachers, they walk while they're preaching. I thought he was in a track meet. I mean, he would come down through here like this, you know, he'd come back around, and he'd talk a little bit up here. I didn't count, but I'd say he made 60 laps around down through the altar and back, and he'd shake hands with everybody on the front row. But guess what, folks? There was one common denominator in that service. And the common denominator I want to talk about tonight is that all of us who believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because we've been resurrected in our own hearts, we're going to see that resurrected Jesus, and we're going to have a body fashioned after his. But the common denominator up there was, I felt the same spirit there that I felt in our church. You know, sometimes we allow customs to hinder us, don't we? We go in a place, you know, and man, we just, all we can see is somebody doing something a little bit different. Well, we need to look for the good as much as we possibly can. And we need to depend on the Word of God. The bottom line is the Word of God. The Word of God is true. It has been given to us by inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. And we need to remember those words. It is profitable unto reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly or throughly furnished unto all good works. But tonight, the thing that we need to remember is that we're headed toward the finish line. But the finish line is not the grave. Oh, no. Now we see through a glass darkly. But then face to face. Now we know in part. But then shall we know even as also we're known. You know what's two of the most asked questions in my ministry, and I don't know about Brother Kent, what they've been to him, but the two that I've been asked more than anything else, the first one is, can you know you've been saved? Can you know you've been saved? Well, you know who usually who asks that? The folks that believe in works for salvation. Now, if I believed in works for salvation, I wouldn't know till I got to the judgment. And then they go through that, they talk about that weighing process, you know. if your good works outweigh your bad, where you tilt a little bit, yeah, come on, then come on in. You know, folks, it's not about that at all. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that wherein we have been bought by that price, and we'll do that from now on. You know what the second most asked question is? Will we know each other in heaven? And you know what my stock reply is? Now, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be cute. If we don't, we'll have less sense there than we've got here. Is that, wouldn't that be pathetic? I'm expecting it to be better there. Well, yeah. I'm expecting old Brother Walter Dewey's. I don't know if you ever met him. He was a good one. He was over in Simpson County, Kentucky. He died a few years ago at about 85 or 6. And I went by to see him one day just before the end. And he was so happy to think that, you know what all he had on his mind? I'm going to see Jesus. It won't be long till I'm going to get to see Jesus. I've never seen Jesus. I've seen Him by faith, and you have if you've been saved. But I haven't seen Him with these eyes. But I want to see Him. Don't you want to see Jesus? Oh, I want to see Jesus more than anything else. And Brother Dewey, before I left, he said, Brother Massey, I want to ask you to do something for me. I said, anything you say, Brother Dewey, just name it. He said, I'll be gone before long. You'll be coming before too much longer. He said, I want you to meet me on the left side of the throne down at the bottom round. Because he said, I've never done anything big for God in my life. You all know the best thing I've ever done in my life was bow at an altar and ask God to forgive my sins. That's the best thing I've ever done. And I'm so grateful tonight that He did. He forgave my sins. And He gave me the joy of salvation. Peter said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Aren't you happy God is able to keep us safe in the hollow of His hand? Brother Kent said, you know, if He didn't keep him, he wouldn't have it. Well, I couldn't get out the door tonight saved if God wasn't keeping it for me. That's the way it is. Now, folks, we are living in times when we need to be about the Master's business. Now, I don't know when He's coming. I met an old gentleman, 1980, down in Springfield. I wish I remembered his name. Somebody in the church took me by to see him. And we were there, and he got up while we were there every little bit, and he would walk over and look out the window. The man was about 90 or 95 years old. He'd look out the window, and I didn't know what was going on. He'd come back and sit down. We'd visit another 15 minutes or so. He'd get up, and he'd walk back over and look out the window. I started to go myself one time. But I didn't. But he had my curiosity up. Sure enough, I was wondering, what is he looking at? Now, my wife accused me of preaching one Sunday looking out the window because I bought a calf at the sale the day before and it got loose and hadn't come back home. And she thought I was looking to see if it was going to come to church, I guess. I don't know. But that feller, finally, you know, he told us what he was doing. He said, I'm not able to do anything much now. But he said, I go every time I think about it, and I look out that window towards the east to see if he's coming. See if he's coming now. I'd never heard of anybody doing such a thing. No. But he didn't have anything else to do. And in the midst of our visit, he had time
You know what he had on his mind, don't you? He was wanting to see Jesus. He believed that he was coming. The Bible said, as the lightning shineth from the east unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And he believed that, so he'd go to that window in the eastern part of that house, the room, and he'd look to see if he's coming down. Well, he's going to come sometime. And when he does, every eye shall see him. That's what the Bible says. Every tongue shall confess. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You mean there won't be any plea bargaining, or there won't be any mom, dad paying you out and all of that stuff? Oh, no. You'll stand on your own 2 feet or you'll fall. One of the two, depending upon how your status is with God. Everybody, I won't answer for you, and you're glad you don't have to answer for me, because God has arranged it perfectly. Everything is just exactly right. Folks, the most important thing in life is to get saved. The second most important thing in life is to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and become a part of His church. Yes, you know what's happening today? People are denouncing the necessity of the church. Let me ask you something. How much gospel would you have heard if it hadn't been by a preacher who had been authorized by some church to carry the gospel message? How much would you have heard? Why, Lord, how many of you got saved during a revival meeting service? Raise your hands, please. My gracious, over half of the congregation. Yeah, in that church, the lights were burning because they were serving God. They were His church. They were the light of the world and the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, was shining and did shine unto you one day or one night. We were in a revival meeting over in Allen County, Kentucky, a long time ago. And I got to tell you all this story real quick. We were just about to close the service and a little girl, I'd say maybe 10, 11 years old, came in. By herself. And I thought it kind of strange because we were out in country, or a rural area. And I couldn't imagine where did she come from, because it wasn't a house real close. Well, some lady got up and went back and talked to her. And so then, just before we dismissed, that lady said, "Wait just a minute. I've got to tell you all something. This little girl was sent down here by her mother and daddy that live up the road here, a few hundred yards, because her little 4-year-old brother has disappeared. And they don't have a clue where he is." Well, man, we had the Barren River running real close right there. And their place was closer to it than the church was. And so we didn't know what in the world to do. So I went by the house up there before I went home, and the song leader and his wife were in the car with my wife and me, and they were frantic. And they'd called town for the civil defense people to come, and they were coming. So we got the word out, and then all the men went home and changed clothes to start a search, and the ladies started fixing food. Didn't know how long it'd go on. And so we start breaking up into teams, and some would go here and some would go there and some over here. And of course, the first thing we did was take off to the river just hard as we could go with flashlights to see if we could see any little feet that it might have gone in there. Well, we didn't. And when we didn't do that, then almost arm to arm, we canvassed that farm coming toward the road. Not a thing. Man, we searched all night long. And the mother and daddy were just helpless and could not imagine. Well, they were, you know, almost positive that nobody hadn't picked him up, because it just wasn't hardly that kind of opportunity back there. What had happened, she was giving him a bath, the little boy. And I don't know what happened before she got to put clothes on him. He takes off running. And out of the house he went. And the last thing she saw was him and his dog running out in the yard. And now here we are. Oh, we're at least 8-10 hours. Sun's already come up. And we're frantic. And I had come back in. They had brought in, the ladies had fixed a little sausage and biscuit and coffee or something. And I came in and I was eating one of those. And I heard a squeal. And it was the mother of that little boy. She went, "Ooh!" And I looked in her direction. And then I looked in the direction she started running. And that was an old man with chin whiskers down to about right there. And he must have been at least 200 yards away carrying something. And she knew what he was carrying. Oh, she took off running and her husband behind her. And he had found that little boy and his dog asleep in a sinkhole. And there wasn't a place on him. A chigger hadn't bit him. I mean, they of course took him into the emergency room to get him treated. But you're talking about a hallelujah morning. We had one right there. It was almost as good as if Jesus had come back. Yeah, it was a wonderful time. But if you're living when Jesus comes back and you see him, oh boy, what an event that'll be for all. And those that are not living, it won't be but just, you know, those that are living, it won't be long till those that are in the grave will come up and they'll see him as he is. Oh yes. Over in Kentucky just a few years ago, you might have heard about this. This has only been 5 or 6 years ago. There were some men trapped in a coal mine. I see there was five in there. There was five of them down in there, and they realized they couldn't get out. Just hopeless. And they knew that it was so deep, or thought so, that there would be no way for them to have oxygen long enough for them to get to them. And it was only one fella in the group saved. And he told those others, he said, "Well, we're not going to get out of here. I know where I'm going." And he said, "If you don't, I'd suggest that you make preparation while you've got breath and life." Well, three of them did. And he's finally, old Fred, he was the only one that was saved in the group. He said, "I'm going to write a little note to leave for those that find our bodies, and it'll say, 4 of us were ready to go, and we'll see you all in the morning of that eternal day." And while he was writing that, the other said, "Hold on, Fred, hold on." And he cried out and he said, "Oh, dear God, please forgive me of my sins and save my soul right here, right now." And he did. And he said, "Fred, tell them 5. Tell them all 5 of us was ready to go." Are you ready to go? If the master called, would you be ready to go? If something happened on the way home tonight, would it be well with your soul? If you never see the sunlight of another day, could you say, "It's all right. It's all right. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm prepared for the crossing." Am I anxious to die? No. I still have living grace. But you know what? I've seen so many dear saints get that dying grace, I believe it'll be there for me too. Oh, I've watched them. One old brother, Clifford Hayes, his daddy. You knew Clifford. Well, they all called him Red. Red, he had cancer. And he got down, of course, at the end of the line. And I was over there to see him. He said, "Preacher, look." He held out his hand. My hand was shaking more then than his was that day. He said, "I have no fear, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know I've been saved." Job said, though after the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself and not for another. Oh boy. You remember when Lazarus died and they buried him and Jesus was over there a little piece with some of his disciples. And he told his disciples when he got word of it that Lazarus was sleeping. He was. And it wasn't soul sleeping. He was asleep in Jesus. Yeah. And they said, well, Lord, if he's sleeping, he's doing well. And Jesus said, well, we're going to go on over there. After he told them what had happened, he told them he died. Well, there ain't no need of going now, they thought. It's too late. Well, Jesus tarried around, fooled around a while. He wanted Lazarus to be dead, and cooled off, and buried good before he got there. And when he got over there, of course, his sisters told him what had happened again. And he just stood there and said, Lazarus, come forth. And if he'd have left off the Lazarus, everybody in the ground would have come up. Everybody in the seas would have come up. Because his command is good. Lazarus came out of the grave. Oh, what will it be like? What will heaven be like? I have no idea exactly. But it'll be better than anything here. And do you know the description by John in the book of Revelation is not adequate? Because all he could use were terms we understand now. But the former things will be passed away. Behold, I make all things new. They talk about gold streets. Now, that'd be something at my house now. Might be at yours too, I guess. But it'll be better than that in heaven. Oh, yeah. Anything there is going to be better than anything we've ever had here. I don't know what it will be, and it's all right. God will take care of it. Will we know one another? Yes. Will we marry and be given in marriage there? No. We'll all be brothers and sisters with our elder brother, Jesus Christ, and God, our eternal Father. Now, there's going to be a wedding take place in heaven. All right, one wedding. You know who that's going to be? It's going to be Jesus Christ to the bride, and the bride is the church. Not the family of God. They had to go one step beyond being saved and follow the Lord in baptism and become a member of one of His church. They had to let the world know whose side they were on. When you get saved, you know about it. When you join the church until you've been saved and follow the Lord in baptism, the world knows about it. And there's a big difference. God likes for you to let everybody know. Well, down here, when we get ready for a wedding, you know, the groom, he'll come down. I'll be standing, well, usually we do it in the pulpit nowadays, but I'll stand in the middle, and the groom will come down, and he'll stand here, and his best man will stand there, and the groomsman over there. The bridesmaids and the maid or matron of honor will come down, and they'll take their places. And then the bride, who's being given away usually by her father, will stand in the doorway. And the organist or pianist will begin to play. Here comes the bride. And everybody stands, if the mother of the bride does, and looks back at the spectacle of the occasion. The whole spectacle of a wedding, folks, is not anyone but the bride. That's it. Well, all of that's going to be reversed in heaven. Yeah. The bride's going to already be in and seated, and God's going to be standing to perform the wedding. John the Baptist is going to be standing here as the best man, and Jesus Christ is going to be escorted by the angels of glory, and when he comes into the doorway, the bride, the church, will stand and all sing, "Here comes the bridegroom." And Jesus will come down, and God the Father will perform the marriage. of the Lamb to His bride, the church, kingdom of the living God. Now, I used to love this. The Bible says, and the wedding will be furnished with guests. The marriage supper, excuse me, will be furnished with guests. Do you know who that is? That's somebody that's not in the bride. And old preacher Lambert, he had a preacher friend that preached in the Baptist church, and he got up and made a motion for the church to exclude him. Could exclude himself. You ever heard anybody doing that? And somebody unthoughtedly seconded, and they voted him out. They thought if he wanted to, I'd never heard of anything like it. Dumbest thing I ever heard of. His name was Harold Carman. You may remember. The guy went as a missionary to Japan. Folks, I don't make these things up. I'm just telling you. Yeah. Every time I hear it, it's ringing. Yeah. Yeah. Brother Lambert would see Brother Carman after he was excluded from the church, and he said, Harold, have you thought you have to wait my table at the marriage supper of the Lamb? Listen, folks, we smile about it, and we might not understand all about it, but I'm right back. Most important is to get saved, even if you don't live long enough to get baptized into the Lord's church. Salvation will get you there. But I don't want to just get there. I want all there is. When follow the Lord in baptism. Put your light on the true light. Let everybody know whose side you're on. And then you know what's the third most important thing? To live your life like a saved church member should live it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm so glad you asked me to come. And I'm winding down for my closing words. I'm not going to make any farewell speech later. This is it. I hope to preach as long as I live. And if I can't preach, I hope God will say it's time to go. And until then, I'll be praying for you. And I tell you what, I got one request. When you all enlarge this building, because you need room for more people, if you'll let me know, I'll send a little donation to the building fund. Because I believe it's going to happen. I truly do. And I thank you again for all of your encouragement to me. And whatever you've given is more than I deserve. Thank you for being here, your prayers, your attention and everything. And I thank this man. I don't know why you send him for me. You got the best preacher in Missouri right here. Amen. Yeah, and I ought to be sitting and listening to him every night. But I've done, as old Brother Prince would say, I did the best I did. And I guess that's, maybe God takes it and then he kind of blows it up a little and makes something out of it. Bless you. If you're not saved, nothing I'd love better than to have a prayer with you before we leave tonight. Let us stand and sing.